Welcome to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. I'm Wayne Tucker. Today, the career and music of legendary St. John's drummer, Derek Rocky Wiseman, best known as the beat behind 60 rockers The Ravens and 70s rockin' reelers The Wonderful Grand Band. We will hear excerpts from a recent interview with Rocky and his lifetime drumming colleague and friend, Mac Barefoot.
I've been a big fan of Rocky since the first time I saw him play. The complete Megillah, the whole package, to me, Rock has got it more than any other local drummer that I know. I mean, I would go up to Powers Course with my chin on the stage. I wasn't interested in dancing, but I just went up to watch Rocky and watch the band. And Rock was the man. He was the man. I mean, from the first time I saw him play, I was fascinated with everything he did, but his bass drum work freaked me out altogether. That's a word I like using with describing Rocky's playing. Tasty. He's a fabulous brush player, and I've learned all kinds of things from him, and still do. I'm still a big, big pupil and fan of Rocky Wiseman.
Rocky Wiseman. He's been one of St. John's most talented, eclectic, reliable, and respected drummers through a career that has spanned six decades. He has backed the who's who of our local music elite, including Joan Morrissey, Mary Lou Collins, Ralph Walker, John White, Dick Nolan, Jeff Dyer, Ron Hines, and Peter Navais. And he's backed celebrities like Valdi, Big Mama Thornton, and Bo Diddley. I asked Rocky to talk about his earliest musical memories.
Oh, it started by listening to VOUS, mostly. That's the station I was tuned into all the time, and Pepperell, the American
Voice of the
Forces.
United States.
They had all these comedy shows on and dramas, and they played, they had shows that played pop numbers, you know, hit parade numbers, and at that time, the rhythm and blues was kind of in the background, as far as we were all concerned. And I was in the background, but until a white group would cover an original R&B song, then we would hear the white version. But VOUS played both versions, especially the original version. So that's where I got interested, especially when you hear, you know, somebody like Fats Domino come on the scene, or Little Richard. And that music was so different than what you heard previous to that. It just struck me like a ton of brick when I heard Little Richard. I said, that's the kind of the band. Who are these guys? How come they're playing like I would like to play?
What songs? Can you remember some of the tracks from Little Richard?
Tutti Frutti. That was the first hit he had. Yeah. Covered by Pat Boone. But yeah, that was on the first album I bought too. It was the Little Richard album. We had that totally wore out, because it had all great cuts on it. Good Golly Miss Molly, Slip and Slide. And old pick a knife, nothing but a dive. I done got here the old time. Slipping and sliding, peeping and hiding.
The old fool no more. What was it that enthralled you about that music?
I don't know. No, I don't know. But it just hit me.
Were you interested in drums right off the bat?
You could probably say that, yes. But before that, like I was saying, the music was different. It was, the drums were quieter, they were less in the mix. But when Little Richard comes on, he was his recordings were done in New Orleans. They tended to have the drums up in the mix. So now you could hear what was going on with even with the bass drum. And the syncopated bass drum that Earl Palmer was playing really was an interest to me. I was never heard anything like that before, you know.
So what years would that have been that you're listening to the OUS and the Richard and all that stuff?
Well,
what era are we talking
from about 52, maybe, 53. I've been about 12 or 13, you know, 11 or 12. But I liked, I even liked Jimmy Dorsey back in those days. Not given any thought to being playing in the future. I never gave any thought to being a musician. But I loved that stuff. I don't know why. J.D.'s Boogie Woogie. Loved it. And then I'd go and listen to on the weekends the Big Six show. Listen to that too. I mean, how opposite can you get?
What kind of music were they playing?
McNulty Family and, you know, Mickey, Mary Cart and
John
that
Wayne.
Kind of thing. Yeah, John Wayne.
Walking down the street the other night, the Royal House to see. Sure, all the boys from Golden Hane kept shouting after me. There goes the Duke of Charlesburg, and he's an aristocrat.
Well, I listened to the CLB, though, and especially the American bands, the military bands that they had in town at the time. They'd take part in a lot of local functions, where there were a chance to have a parade. There was always the Air Force band. I'd like to listen to that, too. No, I love the marches. I love that military march music, John Philip Sousa, all that, that stuff. Oh, always listening, something.
We're still in the 50s, are we?
We're still in the 50s.
Early 50s or mid-50s.
I find it hard to get out of the 50s. I've listened to all kinds of stuff. Didn't quite get into jazz at that early age, but that came later.
Now, you're listening to this stuff. Are you playing any of it? Are you doing
No, not
a set of drums at this point?
No, not until 60, late 60 or early 61, somewhere around there.
That's when you started to play drums?
Yeah, that was kind of by fluke. I used to kind of hang around VOCM because I knew some disc jockeys there. And I used to get the things that they didn't want to play, like Little Richard or some other R&B artist. They didn't want to play him on the air. And I was only too happy to take him off their hands. So that's why I kind of hung around down there. Paul Ryan, Durham Ryan, Jim Hennessy, and Dave Evans were in a studio, an empty studio, practicing with the Ravens.
Yeah.
That was the very, very beginning of the Ravens. So I heard all this going on down there, and they're doing like Fats Domino, Little Richard kind of thing. So I wandered down there, went in, talked to Hennessy. I didn't know the other guys that well. And I said, out of curiosity, you think I could just get up and try a number? And they did, I think it was Tutti Frutti or something. We did it, and at the end of it I said, gee, this is as simple as nothing to this. So that's how that started.
And was that your first time behind a drum kit?
Yeah, because I didn't know anybody that had any drums. So I, you know, that was the first opportunity to get behind a kit and just find out, can I really do that? And it worked that I could because Dave Evans was transferred to Halifax at the hotel chain. He was at Newfoundland Hotel here and then he moved to Halifax. So now there was an opening for a drummer. And the boys said, oh, let's get Rocky. And the first gig was like 2 weeks later.
So how old were you, Rocky, when you did that first gig with the Ravens?
Probably 20.
About
21,
20.
Maybe. Well, that's kind of late.
So, yeah, you started out late, really.
Late, yeah, but I had at least 10 years of listening previous to that. And that's half of the battle with being a musician. You got to listen.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't get in, it's not going to come out.
Yeah.
So I had 10 years. So it wasn't really an overnight thing.
Maybe.
So the first drum kit that you played, they're not the drums that you have now.
No.
The Ludwigs, they came later.
Yeah, they were the old Stewart I had. I had those a few months and then the set of Ludwigs came along and I jumped at the chance to get those. And they were practically new.
And what year was that, Rock?
That's around 61.
61, and here we are, 2012, and you're using the same drums.
I used them two nights ago.
So how ironic that you have the same kit, which is identical for any drummers listening, to Ringo Starr's Oyster Black Pearl Ludwig drums. The amount of people that you have played with and recorded with, your drums should be put in the in the drummer's museum, you know?
Yeah, if there are one around, I guess, yeah.
Wetlands provide homes for hundreds of species of birds and other wildlife, but these habitats are disappearing fast. Help us save Canada's wetlands today. Ducks Unlimited Canada, active by nature.
This is CHMR 93.5 on the FM dial in St. John's, Newfoundland.
I'm Wayne Tucker, and you're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour, spinning the music of Newfoundland and Labrador's pioneer recording artist. Today, the career of Newfoundland drumming legend Rocky Wiseman. Our special guest is Mac Barfoot. Next, Rocky and Mac reminisce about the huge influence of the American military bases upon local musicians. And the Ravens record their one and only record.
But Argentia.
Argentia, yeah, oh yeah, we spent a lot of time out there.
Yeah, a lot of good local bands played, and a lot of good groups stateside came in.
Yeah, we opened up for Frank Sinatra Jr. one night.
Oh, yeah.
It was a USO show. And then they wanted us to be part of USO shows and go from different bases to bases in the States or wherever they had bases. We were so naive that we didn't do it. And some of the boys were working. Hennessy had a job with the telephone company, and he said, well, what happens when we come back? Job is gone. And so we didn't do it. But we were offered the job, which is, you know.
And Rock, I've known you all my life, and I didn't know you opened up for Frank Sinatra Jr. I saw him at the Arts and Culture Center here. So you would have opened up for him in Argentia?
In Argentia, in a big place, I forget where it was now, but it was a big USO show coming in, you know, and he had the top sidemen that you could get.
Probably guys working Vegas.
Yeah. And they all came down, and they were friendly, and they shook our hands and, you know, had conversations. It was great.
Yep. And you spoke with Sinatra?
Oh, yeah. They all came down at our table. Yeah.
Of course, Frank Sr. played here in 1942 at Pepperell, and possibly played off the bass up on Miri Meeting Road, the old USO building.
Oh, yeah.
I've been told that he played there, but he definitely played. I have a picture, and you've seen that too, I'm sure.
And Bob Hope was here, I think, wasn't
Bob,
it?
Yes, the USO tours. Yep. Bob Hope would have been here, yeah. There was I don't know how to explain it, Rocky, maybe you can. There's a certain type of aura and an anxious, nervous feeling of really wanting to perform. Hey, now we're playing for Americans now. Mm-hmm. These guys are educated. They're cultured. They invented jazz. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is stateside. Most of the acts and most of the music that we're playing
comes from the U.S.
From the U.S.
Yeah, the blues.
So here we are out, you know, in Argentia or in Goose Bay or whatever, playing for Americans. So you always felt that if, we can win these guys over, if they applaud and they like us, man, we're in, you know.
Well, that's how we felt at the 103 Club.
Yeah.
We were doing the Mashed Potatoes and Fannie Mae and all the black artist material. We had a big black following. They used to come out to Freshwater when we went out there. And all over the place. And that was endorsement enough for us. Here we got all these black guys there, and they come up on the stage and dancing around like James Brown with the footwork and everything. You know, they just loved this stuff. So we figured, okay, you know, we're doing something right now. And then we had, so that was when Paul Ryan was with us at the time, and he'd be up on tables and everything else.
Great showman.
Being the showman that Paul is, you know.
Mm-hmm. So this was the Ravens.
Yeah, that was the first edition of the Ravens. Mm. And we had an additional sax player from the bass who played the wildest sax that you ever want to hear, the same as listening to Little Richard or any of these guys. And that was a great addition to the band, I can tell you.
What was his last name, Rocky?
Jack Matisse, I remember him.
And he did some jobs with you in St. John's too, right?
Yeah, he'd come in.
Came in and play with you on the weekends.
Blown everybody away.
So the Ravens were the first band you recorded with?
Yes, in Halifax.
Okay, so the single was released with side one and side two, of course, Young Blood and
Sincerely. Mm-hmm.
And then there was the other two tracks as well.
Since I Met You, Baby, and Roberta?
Roberta. Yeah, they never got released until 3 or 4 years ago when the rock and roll documentary came out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so Young Blood, that was an R&B hit.
Lieber and Stoller wrote it.
Lieber and Stoller.
The Coasters recorded
Coasters.
Now, their version of it was a little slower, Rocky, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I really like the arrangement that you guys did, too. Yeah, a little more punch.
Yeah, it was 3 or 4 years later that we did it.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be a cover. You know, usually covers are done like 2 days after the original come out and try to cash in on the situation, but that wasn't our intent at all.
What were you playing in terms of drums? Did you bring your own drums with you?
Oh, yeah.
The Ludwigs that he still has now.
Right. Get you out of my mind. I tried to talk without a badger. What's hurting? I tried to walk without a baby. What's hurting? And all the while my heart's crying. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? Young blood. Young blood.
On CHMR from 1965, The Ravens, with their most popular hit, Young Blood, backed by Rocky Wiseman on drums. Now, The Ravens originally released that as a 45 RPM single on the ARC label. But the good news is, a few years back, it was re-released on a compact disc called Rock and Roll Comes to Newfoundland and Labrador and Archive. And you still just might find that at stores which sell Newfoundland and Labrador music. Now, the Ravens' career peaked with the release of their record. They even played on CJON-TV's Art Andrews Dance Party. But the band soon split, and Rocky was in demand for local television programs, and they were plentiful in those days. Rocky now speaks of his 20-year involvement with local television.
Just after we got back from Halifax, CBC decided they were going to do a Joan Morrissey thing. Now, I was just came back from Halifax, and I had to join a union to be able to do that, do the TV work. So now I'm probably one of the few people that's in a union. So CBC needed union people to do the Joan Morrissey show. Joan was probably an actress, so she was okay. So I was there. Okay, we got drums. Now we got to get somebody else. So I guess Wally Cobb probably joined. Maybe he was already in it. I'm not sure, because he did the Circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they probably convinced... Yeah, Ali did the Circle too. So there we are with three union guys. And Joan was familiar with Ali. She did some stuff with him and Wally. So we landed the job to do that first series, Nightcap.
How long did that run, Randy? How many shows?
Oh, must have been 13 weeks or even longer.
What time of the night would that come out with?
I think it was midnight. Yeah, Nightcap. And then...
CBC again?
Yeah, down on Water Street.
I just adore, he's asking for more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. While tearing off a game of golf, I may make a date with the caddy. But if I do, I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy, so I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Dad, 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 dad. So I want to warn you, laddie.
And then when that ran its course, they changed it a little bit, and then they did Tonight at 8. Same backup band. Leon Michaels was part of Nightcap, and I think he was part of this one also.
One, two, three, four.
Now, there's a track where you're playing drums for Leo Michaels.
Yeah. Have been and Ollie Smith.
From that air.
Is that the one?
There's Ollie Smith is on there,
yeah,
as well.
When You're Smiling. That's the name of the number. Ollie Smith.
Ollie on piano.
Yeah.
Right.
Wally Cobb on bass.
Okay.
Leo on sax.
Yeah.
Fine. Really high quality music, you know. It was good stuff.
Who would have influenced you, Rocky, locally as far as the... Of course, there wasn't a lot of keyboard players around. You had Ralph Walker, you had Don Butler, you had Ollie Smith. That's the three bigger names that come to mind for me that were active on the scene as far as the jazz scene was going.
Yeah, Walker. I liked to play with Walker a lot. He was so... His stuff was happy, you know, and just swinging and... That kind of thing, that was always fun to do.
Been out to the club, I get as far as the door. I'm shouting, oh, I don't move without you. I don't get around much anymore.
Don Butler was more serious about what he was doing. And Ollie was somewhere in between. But Ollie was a great player and a vocalist, and he played sax too. But I think he was probably underrated.
Where was he from?
Here, right in St. John's. Yeah. Probably self-taught, but a great player.
Paul Bradbury, where was he from? He local.
Grand Falls, I think, wasn't he?
I think I can remember Paul Bradbury telling me that he was actually born in England.
Yes, and his family moved
and
to Grand Falls.
And his family moved to
early.
Grand Falls, and he came in here from Grand Falls.
Yeah, that's true.
He also holds the distinction. I know he played with you guys with the Ravens.
Yeah.
He also worked with the Deltones.
Yeah.
And I believe he possibly may have sat in with the Lincolns, or certainly the band after the Ravens split, when the Ravens, part of the Ravens and part of the Lincolns, combined, known as the Leftovers.
Yeah, that's
were you
true.
Involved with that
no.
band? No.
No, I was. Don Oakley was there, I know.
And Brian Hennessy?
And, Stan O'Brien was Stan
O'Brien. Stan O'Brien was doing drums, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, well, Paul would have been in demand with that Hammond B3, you know, because, you know, people loved it.
You're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour on 93.5 CHMR FM. Today we're shining a light on the career of St. John's drumming great, Rocky Wiseman.
Now, by the late 1970s, Rocky was well established as one of the province's premier drummers and sidemen. Then his phone rang, and that led to the most popular gig of all with the wonderful Grand Band.
Okay, so that would bring us up probably to 1978 or so in the WGV. And just talk about getting involved with those guys for a while and what led to the television series and the music that you were playing and that, all of that.
Well, Sandy Morris called me and told me that they had this in their minds to do a series on their own rather than back up other people with their stuff. And he told me what he had in mind, which was they're going to be doing, you know, Newfoundland music and original Ron Hines numbers. So the first thing I said, well, if you're going to be doing Newfoundland music, I don't have much of an idea about Newfoundland music. Well, that's not where I came from. I'm a rock and roller and a little bit of jazz, you know, on the side. So I was kind of about to say no, you know, I'm not interested. He said, yeah, but we're going to be doing it. We're going to modernize the jigs and the reels by adding the bass, electric bass, and drums. And he said, you put in what you feel goes good with any particular number, whether it be a bluesy feel or a swing feel, or whatever you want. We'll see what happens. I said, okay, give it a try. And then I guess they got to go with Greg and Mary White for the writing and the comedy parts. We got a proposal going with CBC, and they accepted. And that's how that happened.
Now, that was groundbreaking music for listeners, I suppose musicians as well, because it was the first time that there had been a trad rock album released in this province. Anybody had dressed up the old traditional songs with to a rock beat and recorded them and released an album.
Well, would that have been pre Figgy Duff?
I think it was roughly the same time.
Around the same
Figgy
time.
Duff.
Yeah.
But they weren't as raucous as we were. They were kind of more to the traditional.
Yeah, the Figgy Duff were performing that sort of thing in
77, but not recording.
But they're recording, although it had been recorded, I think, probably around 78 or so. Lay around and didn't get released until 1980. So the Wonderful Grand Band came out in 78, and Red Island.
Same year.
Almost
same
within
year.
A few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
They put out a similar
genre,
if you want to say.
Yeah.
You know, that fusion.
Yeah,
that,
Jamie was in that group.
Yes.
Yeah. And he replaced Kelly Russell when he left.
If I was going to play a track from the Wonderful Grand Band album, the Root Cellar album, is there anything that track that stands out that you would particularly like want me to play?
Yeah, Take a Chance on Love was a great
hit. Yes.
Take a chance on love. Join me on Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. for Back to the Past. I'll have all the best music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Wetlands provide homes for hundreds of species of birds and other wildlife, but these habitats are disappearing fast. Help us save Canada's wetlands today. Ducks Unlimited Canada, active by nature.
For the best in roots and blues music, you're tuned to 93.5 CHMR FM. Available online via MP3 stream at www.chmr.ca.
He'll be whistling while he works. He'll be whistling while he works.
I'm Wayne Tucker, and you're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour, where we spin the music of Newfoundland and Labrador from the 50s to the 80s, the vinyl era. Now, you can follow the Newfound Records Radio Hour on the internet, where our address is newfoundrecords.ca. And we're on Facebook and Twitter, where our handle is at Newfound Records. Send email to wayne@newfoundrecords.ca. We now return to our special on drumming legend, Rocky Wiseman. Through the 1970s, Ron Hines' star rose, and he emerged as one of the province's finest singer-songwriters. Coming up next, we'll hear an excerpt from his rather humorous account of a series of tragedies which devastated St. John's clubgoers in the 70s. And Ron's drummer on this little piece is Rocky Wiseman.
I don't know if anybody knows the full story on it, but there was something in the ballpark of, what, like 18, 20 clubs
burned
that went down in a year or so.
Yeah, Ron Hines wrote a song about that.
Oh, remember the winter of 75? A tragedy struck that was hard to survive. I suppose there's a few of us still left alive who remember when all of the bars burned. Remember the Tudor, the first one to burn. The Circle, the Belmont may never return. And the Pick and the Dory, yes, they too are gone. The list is just too long to make.
Next, Rocky speaks of two rare, wonderful grand band tracks that were released only on compilation albums.
I understand that the wonderful grand band, there was the Root Cellar album, and then after that, one track on a compilation album called Newfoundland's Greatest or some such thing.
Yeah, there were two tracks on different compilations.
Okay.
St. John's Waltz was on Greatest Hits, Newfoundland's Greatest Hits.
Yes.
And the four-poster bed was on
oh, yeah.
Close to the Floor album, another compilation.
Yeah, that was a CD that wasn't released on the
That was
vinyl.
A CD. Jeez. Yeah, Kelly did that one. And if you want to hear a little drum solo, that's the cause.
Really?
Yeah, but don't blink, you'll miss it.
When would that have been recorded?
1980. I think it was just before Kelly made his exit. He wanted to do that last number. He wanted to do the four-poster. So it ended up on that compilation, Close to the Floor album. But that, I was going to say about the four-poster bed, that was totally a fun number. Because every time we played it live, it was going to be different, right?
No.
The drum solo, you didn't know. I didn't even know what was going to come. You know, because you only had probably four bars. And the day went by so fast, you didn't have time to think. You just threw in something and hoped that that was going to work. The one time, I didn't put anything in. It was just four bars of dead air. And the voice freaked. You know? And Ron, to this day, he brings that up. He said, I'll never forget the day that you put in nothing. You know? Or just one clunk. That was it. That was a solo. Well, yeah, we kept changing it all the time, and we're dying laughing at it, you know, on a lot of occasions.
Thank you. lions into the four-poster bed.
That track, St. John's Waltz, was that recorded especially for that compilation album? Do you remember?
Yeah, that was especially for that album. I forget the guy who was talking to us at that time, the manager of, I think it was Tartan Records or something like that.
Tapestry?
Tapestry, that's it. He was here, and he was trying to get this compilation album on the go. And he approached us, and we said, okay, yeah, we'll do this St. John's Waltz on it.
Yeah, well, there's an unusual conglomeration of groups on there, because there's everything from Michael T. Wall, Harry Hibbs, Dick Nolan, Dave Nickel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful grand band.
And the Carlton Show Band.
The Carlton Show Band.
I don't know how they...
On Newfoundland's greatest.
Yeah. That's
strange,
weird.
Strange
yeah.
things happens. But that was the first recording of the St. John's Waltz.
That's the original recording of
and
it.
And I don't think... Correct me if I'm wrong, that was ever released on compact disc. It's only available on vinyl.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas the one version of that that you'll hear on radio came out on the All the Best.
Yeah, album. Ron did it again, I think, towards
right, that was and it was re-recorded.
Yeah.
So that's pretty rare, that version of Newfoundland, that appeared on Newfoundland's Greatest, and it's a dandy version.
Are gleaming and the evening still and dark, and the seagulls are all dreaming seagull dreams on Amherst Rock, and the mist is slowly drifting as the storefront lights go dim, and the moon is gently lifting and the last ship's coming in. All the sailors tell you stories, some are true and some are false. Oh, but they're always wrecked and they're up on the deck and they're dancing the St. John's Waltz. Oh, we've had our share of history, we've seen nations come and go. And there have been battles raged over land and staged 200 years or more. For glory or for freedom, or for country or for king, or for money or fame, but there are no names on the graves where men lie sleeping. All the 9 to 5 survive the day with a sigh and a dose of salts. And they're parking their cars and they're packing the bars and they're dancing the St. John's Waltz. Hearts upon the highway, and I'm sold on going to sea. All the planes fill up the skyway, and the trains run swift and free. So leave the wayward free to wander, leave the restless free to roam. If it's rocks in the bay or it's old cliche, you'll find your way back home. So don't question or inquire what's been gained or what's been lost. It's a world of romance, you see. Don't miss your chance to be dancing the St. John's Waltz. Oh, the harbor lights are gleaming and the evening's still and dark, and the seagulls are all dreaming seagull dreams on Amherst Rock. And the mist is slowly drifting as the storefront lights go dim, and the moon is gently lifting and the last ship's coming in. All the sailors tell you stories, some are true, some are false. Oh,
but they're always wrecked, and they're up on the deck and they're dancing the St. John's waltz. But they're always wrecked, and they're up on the deck and they're dancing the St. John's waltz.
I'm Wayne Tucker, and you're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour on 93.5 CHMR FM. And today we're shining a light on the career of St. John's drumming great, Rocky Wiseman. Now, in the early 80s, Rocky left the Wonderful Grand Band and teamed up with Jeff Dyer, Nelson Giles, Rick Hollett, and Martin Rickard to form Island Jazz. And that group received an Apache Award in 1982 for Top Jazz Group in the province. Rocky also had a long-standing gig with the group Square Penny at the Worship Center Church in St. John's. Now, that was in an era when putting a pop beat to gospel music in church was frowned upon by many locals. Over the next few decades, Rocky occasionally appeared on recordings by the province's top musicians. Next, Rocky speaks of recording the highly acclaimed blues album, Rock and Roll Ruby, with Peter Narvaez. That was in 1984.
Tell me your memories of working with Peter and making the record.
Yeah, I did some things with Peter, you know, different venues around town before that. Sandy, of course, was there. And sometimes Brian Hennessy, sometimes Nelson Giles. And then Peter wanted to do the album, and we got Nels. Jamie Snyder was there, Sandy Morris.
Steve somebody, I can't remember.
Steve Annan. John Nugent on sax. So we did that at Jack's on Long's Hill. And it's a pretty good blues album. Holger Peterson mentioned it on one of his programs way back when it first came out. He played some cuts from it. And it got some write-up in some American blues paper down in the States somewhere that Peter showed me one time.
Yeah, I think it's really a fine album. Funny to hear the Johnny Cash song. Well, the title song is Rock and Roll Ruby.
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard Johnny Cash's original version of that.
I don't know.
I suspect it was rather different from...
I didn't hear it either, because the one that I heard was Warren Smith, and he was on the Sun label along with Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee, and a whole bunch of them were there at the same time.
Right.
And that's where that came from Warren Smith.
He was the guy that recorded it.
Yeah.
Cash wrote it. I suppose he may have recorded it. I don't know.
I don't know about it.
Mm. Great song, though.
Oh, yes.
Well, you guys know it anyway.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
We all took my ruby dancing to the outskirts of town, where she kicked her heels off and she rolled stockings down. A quarter in the jukebox, get a little beat. Everybody's watching all the rhythm in her feet. She's my rock and roll ruby. She's my rock and roll ruby. She's my rock and roll ruby. She satisfies my soul. Well, now along about one, she started to rock. When Ruby starts rocking, she just don't stop. Rocking on the tables, rolling on the floor. Everybody's yelling, Ruby, just a little more. She's my rock and roll ruby. She's my rock and roll ruby. She's my rock and roll ruby.
Rock and roll.
1984, Peter Narvaez with a group of Newfoundland's finest musicians, including Rocky Wiseman on drums with Rock and Roll Ruby. Next, Mac Barfoot asks Rocky to reflect on who he would most like to record or jam with.
If you had a chance to record or jam with anybody, living or dead, Rock, who would you have liked to have played with?
That's a hard one.
Fats Domino, I know you're a big fan of.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
And the
yeah.
New Orleans type of sound.
Yeah, I can think of lots, but I don't think I could handle the job. I would like to play with Joey DeFrancesco. That's a pretty tall order to play drums with him.
And I'm a big fan, too, of Joey DeFrancesco. I guess he's regarded now as probably certainly in the upper echelon, top Hammond jazz players in the world.
Yeah.
He'd be in the top handful, wouldn't he?
Yes, he kind of, after Jimmy Smith died,
Joey
came
kind of filled the void.
And Doug Riley, the Canadian guy, there's another one,
mm-hmm.
was well up there on top of the heap.
I met this drummer, his name is Joe Ascione. And he's now the drummer who plays for Joey DeFrancesco. And knowing you like I do, I'd have no qualms if I was the agent of putting you in behind Joey DeFrancesco. I think you're being modest and
I'd
humble.
I'd be nervous. I'd like to play with Diane Krall, too. That'd be nice.
Oh, boy, would it ever.
Yeah. But again, it could be too tall an order for me to fulfill it. I don't know. Yeah, I would love to see and play with. Now, there's the group I'd like to play with, the Montreal Jubilation Gospel Choir. They bring the house down, the church down, wherever. They just rock it. All fabulous vocalists and drive. And they use the bass drums and Hammond B3, of course. You know, you can't have a gospel group without a Hammond. But, I'd love to do something with them. They've won all kinds of awards and they play at jazz festivals and everything.
On 93.5 CHMR FM, the Newfound Records radio hour profile of Rocky Wiseman is winding down. Next, we'll hear a recording which Rocky did in 1987 with St. John's Chanteuse, Phyllis Morrissey. Middle of the Sea from her cassette tape, The Sea Calls.
I remember stories I was told. Oh, those stories by the old fishermen. They talked of ships that ships that disappeared. They never thought it should be feared. It was part of reality when you're living your life in the middle of the sea. Middle of the sea.
Middle of the sea.
Newfound Records Radio Hour. Time is up for this week's folks. Time to head up the pond with the wonderful Graham Band and Rocky Wiseman. The Rocky Wiseman special was researched, produced, and hosted by me, Wayne Tucker. The show was recorded at the CHMR Studios, Memorial University, St. John's, Newfoundland. The drummer on all the local tracks that you heard today was Rocky Wiseman. Thanks to Rocky for the great music and for the interview, and a special thank you to Mac Barfoot. Also thanks to Colleen Field of Memorial University Center for Newfoundland Studies. Keep the great music coming, Rock. Leave now with closing remarks from Mac. See you next week.
I just wanted to say that here he is now at the age that he's doing, still playing great. It would be a sad day for me as a friend and as a drummer and as a listener if Rocky were to say, no, I'm hanging it up. I just don't want to play anymore. I've lost my feel for it. And I don't want to do it anymore. I think that would be a loss to the music community. I know he's playing with some of the top jazz players in Edmonton, and whenever Rocky comes home, there's always a little buzz in the musical community. Hey, Rocky's back in town. You know, let's get a jam going. Or, as a man and as a drummer, we've been friends for a long time. I look up to the man. I don't know what else to say. He's just a great drummer.